This is the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
Let's go to Emily from Ashburn, Virginia. Are you with us?
I have 9 children, and my husband is committed to Catholic education. And I mean, I am too. But I also get frustrated because of the fact that, you know, most people that attend private school, it's a matter of resources, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm competing above my weight grade with, like, all these helicopter parents, you know?
I will encourage you. Definitely, I will encourage you. Now, do you homeschool or not?
Oh, I want to homeschool. I'm pro-homeschooling. I mean, it like, makes more sense logistically. But my my husband wants to do, you know, diocesan private Catholic school, which is like, great.
What I would do, you and your husband together, I would kind of have regular meetings with the kids about what they're learning. Now, I will give you a word of encouragement. I have a theory that artificial birth control created a situation in which children are actually more neglected than the children in large families. Because you see, I'm glad you called in because this is something I really want to share. I was the youngest of 7, and my parents were not helicopter parents by any means, especially by the time I got around. You know, the idea, I call it Scarlett O'Hara syndrome. I don't know if you've seen Gone with the Wind, but the scene in which Scarlett O'Hara lifts a potato she's just dug out of the ground, Evan, and says, "I swear, as God is my witness, I will never be hungry again." People came back from the war and the Depression, and they weren't going to put their kids through what they'd been through. We're going to limit the size of our family, have a couple kids, and really give them everything we didn't have. Well, what that ended up is they got them a nanny or an au pair, and they went on vacation to Cancun. And the children, you know, I think in many cases, the smaller family ended up with neglected children who just so much need our attention, which is why kids now in this second or third generation of neglected children of small families, "Mom, I'm secretly a woman," or "I'm secretly a..." Oh, I feel for you. I find that young people today are so in need of attention. They're desperately lonely. The loneliness of children is so enhanced. You got 9 kids. How old is your oldest?
16.
How old, is it a girl or a boy?
I have a boy that's 16.
And how old is the oldest girl?
15.
Okay. And how old is the youngest?
He's 5 months.
I was raised as much by my older brothers and sisters as I was by my parents. My sister Nancy was a second mother. I have a theory that if you have 3 kids, that's as much chaos as you can notice. And the kids, your children will not be neglected. They will have your love, your husband's love, and the love and the yelling and the critiquing and the slapping upside the head of their older siblings, will they not?
And I know it's a lie. Like, I know it's just...
It's a total lie. Yeah. Yeah, their kids are going to live their life off handheld computers and smartphones and whatever gizmo comes around next, and they're going to be lonely. Your kids are going to know how to relate to large numbers of people and hold their own. You know, they will be disciplined regularly by, "Ma said you can't do that," you know, that kind of thing. So I encourage you, you know, enjoy. I mean,
That was the whole Christmas, is joy.
I am the youngest of 7, and believe me, I got slapped upside the head, not by my parents, but by my brothers and sisters, and I needed it. My parents never needed to discipline us physically. They knew we had siblings. So I can still remember my sister Paula whacking me over the head with her little plastic purse. You know that, this is an investment in the future. You know that psalm? I always wondered about it. "May your children be like olive plants around your table." What? You're calling my kids potted plants? What does that mean, olive plants around your table? An olive tree does not yield any fruit for the first 15 years, and you don't really get a harvest for the first 30 years, as I've heard. You're not going to get anything out of those kids till they're 15. And then they may actually say hello to you and acknowledge your existence. It's when they're 30. I feel so sorry for these people, 2 children. One of them goes off to pursue his His destiny is somewhere in the Himalayas, and the other's a hairdresser in San Francisco, and they write for Christmas. You know, you're going to be tormented by the loving presence of children and grandchildren, and your life will have had meaning.
The rest of my life.
And, you know, I'm talking as the youngest of seven. It's amazing. I learned to walk. My feet never touched the floor. I was carried around constantly by my sister's girlfriends. But a little addendum. I think you really need to be talking to your kids about their faith. To sit down and say, all right, we're having a family meeting. What are you learning in religion class? One by one. And not to critique what they're learning, just so that you're part of the conversation. The one thing homeschool, we had, when I was pastoring, we had a religion class, but communion was homeschool because it got the parents involved in a conversation with their children about their faith. And, you know, most parents say, well, I send my kid to religion class. He doesn't believe any of this stuff. What happened? Did you ever talk to your kid about his faith? You know, that the right. faith should be a conversation in the family. So make sure that's happening. If you have to have a couple family meetings a week or something like that, you know, ask your kids and your husband should ask the kids. I think it's particularly his job. What are you learning in religion class? Nothing. What do you mean nothing? We're paying this money. You better be learning something. You know, I would do that.
Because
so.
I can quote you and then it'll be good.
Well, careful. Yeah. Take what I say with a grain of salt.
No, only good. I'd only mean that.
Only good.
Funny.
All
I
right.
Only mean
I'm kidding you. Yeah. Being the youngest of seven, this is something that is dear to my heart. So God bless you, Emily. God bless all of you. And I hope your new year is unfolding beautifully. So far mine is. I'm going to take a nap shortly.
You can join me and listen on the Relevant Radio app to Father Simon Says live each weekday at 1 o'clock Central. And thanks for listening.